Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, Blog Talk Radio, Russ Johnson, filling in for David on this Friday. Let's see if we can punch it up and tap into the system. 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 2. See where we are. Tapping into the system. 1 minute before.
Joining conference now. This
right.
Conference is being recorded by the organizer.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Who's there? Hi, this is Russ Johnson. Good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio. Is anybody
morning,
on? Somebody... Hey, James, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Well, yourself?
Yeah, the big question before we get started. Are you using the Carl Humphrey system?
I am not.
Applied? Okay, right, right.
No.
Okay. Well, I wonder who's using it. I guess the people who do use it and have some success, they're going to come back and report to us, huh?
I would imagine. I hope so, yeah. I would imagine so. I know Robert and Vendette, they're advocating it, so I'm not sure. And Jeffrey Tisdale, but I'm not sure.
I'm looking for a system. I'm looking.
Good morning, Mike Check, Adrian from New Jersey.
Hey,
good morning.
Adrian.
Good morning.
Good morning. And this is our last call on the old line.
Oh, okay. Well, let's make
it
a good one.
Monday we're gonna do the new line. I'm looking at the book that you recommended about the millionaire. The title of the book.
The Wealth
you just told
choice.
Us about last week.
The wealth choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I was thinking is that the law of attraction is some kind of mystery with this law of attraction. When you compare the law of attraction and you listen to the wealth choice, for example, mm-hmm. I'm bringing that up because we all have 7 days in a week. Okay, the millionaires don't have any more time, or the billionaires or the trillionaires than we have. We all have the same amount of time. And it took Nelson Rockefeller, it took him 45 years to become a billionaire. But it took the creators of Priceline, the guy who created Priceline became a billionaire in 12 months.
Okay, but
listen.
Let's go back. Let's go back for a minute. I don't want to, and this is a good conversation. And James can tell you about the science, the secret, the strangest secret in the world. And maybe he might tell you that in a minute. That fits into what your question is about. But a billionaire back in 1901 is different than a billionaire today. Do you know that? Oh, the numbers are just. A billionaire back then would be equal to. I'm just going to take a guess. I don't have my calculator in front of me. Would be equal to a person who has $100 billion today or more.
Right.
Do you understand? See, when Madam C.J. Walker became a millionaire back then, her $1 million would be worth $100 million today, maybe $200 million today, because the people are getting $5 a week as a salary. When Henry Ford came along and doubled everybody's salary, which was phenomenal, instead of $2.50 a week, he was paying them $5 a week as a salary.
Wow.
Right? So a gallon of gasoline might cost 10 cents or 5 cents a gallon rather than $2 a gallon. But we can get to that.
Right.
It's a big difference. When the guys, for instance, when Andrew Carnegie died, or when he sold his steel mill to Standard Oil, he got about $300 billion for it, or $400 billion for it. The richest man in the world. I mean, he gave away $67 billion just to have libraries and institutions because he started giving his money away. But we can get to that one day. We really will. Do you understand a little bit?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that was serious, serious money those people had, but because it had more leverage, more buying power than we do today. See, $100 today, no, let's do that. A dollar today has about buying power than it did.
Wow.
Back in, yeah. It's worth about 2 cents compared to the money they had, the buying power they had back in those days. But we can talk about that. But maybe the concept is what you were talking about. Okay, it's Friday. You said the last program on this system. Good. It's nice and quiet. Let's go. For any new people on here, oh, James, did you want to talk about that for a minute, about the strangest secret in the world?
Well, here's what I know about the strangest secret. Adrian knows just as much as I do. Adrian
is a
prolific
reader.
Okay.
James. James, throwing me out there.
No, I'm just telling you. Personal development. You're not fooling Adrian. You're not telling us something she don't know. So don't, you know. But the strangest secret, it's like you're saying. It's the law of attraction. It's you know, what you're thinking about. You bring about, and the more you feed your mind, you feed your mind good thoughts, and you feed your mind good energy and the good things. Those are the things that are going to come back at you, and the things that as you start elevating your mind, elevating your situation, no matter what happens, the more you elevate yourself, the more good things are going to be attracted to you, and you'll be able to see opportunities that you would not see if you were hoveling around in the dirt. And it's all a mind thing. It's all focusing your mind, focusing your attention on good things, setting goals, doing positive affirmations, positive reading, like you say, the dream board, all those kind of things come out of the secret. All those things come out of that and come out of getting better. But like I say, Adrian's not new to this.
Okay. But whomever's online, whomever, listen carefully, because what he's talking about and Adrian are talking about is the reason why some people come into network marketing and make $100 a month. Or some people come into network marketing and make $10,000 a month, or $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 or $100,000. The difference is in your thinking. See, thinking makes it so.
Right.
That's what they're trying to tell you. What you think about, you bring about. Look, the reason... I'm going to say it a nice way. The reason why people are where they are is because of what they think or don't think. Right? That today. Let's do that today. Since this is the last program on this system, let's talk about that. Look, there are people who come to this country from Vietnam or Laos and Cambodia and Japan or Switzerland or wherever they come from. They come here and they do wonderful things. They make a lot of money. I mean, they just take over while the rest of us are sitting languishing, if you will, on the street corner. What's the difference? Because when I was in, I'll never forget, when I was going to college after I got into service, I always go to the library. The libraries were always empty, and the street corners are always crowded with the people languishing and drinking liquor and smoking and talking and having and listening to the radios blaring, da-da-da-da. But the libraries were empty. Now, what's the difference between the people?
Can I say something with you real quick on that point, Doc?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Let me just jump in real quick. Years ago, I was with a group. We took kids down on college tours all throughout the historically black colleges, and we went to St. Paul's. I believe it's in North Carolina. I'm not sure. But anyway, it was 95 degrees outside. And all the kids were outside. They were all dressed up because they wanted to see the new kids coming on a tour. It was 95 outside. And there was no air conditioning in the dormitories. The only place they had air conditioning on was in the library. And it was three people in the library.
Okay. That's true.
Go ahead with your point. Go ahead with your...
I just want to mic check about the library. Please, I just want to say that the story that I heard about Warren Buffett, he said that he went to the New York Library and he read every single book in the library that dealt with finance and money. All of he read all of the books in there that they had,
okay.
Economics, finance, and all of that. And that's why he's, you know,
he's where he
that's
is.
That's my comment
yeah.
about the library.
Okay, good, good. Right, while you're on that subject. If you go back in Warren Buffett's history when he started Berkshire Hathaway some 40 or 50 years ago, ever since that day he decided to get into stock and figured how it works and all of that stuff, do his due diligence, homework, he reads 6 hours every day, even up to today, 6 hours a day. He will not pass a day without reading something for 6 hours a day. Do you understand? So the people who pay the price, yes. See, leaders are readers, right? So if you read, study, like James gave a formula. See, the whole show is wrapped around the 3 minutes that James talked a few minutes ago. What did he say? He said, what you think about, you bring about. You sow an idea. You come up with an idea. You reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. And it's all in that book, The Wealth Choice. Of all the 35,000 millionaires black in America, that they followed that same formula. Do you know what you see? The reason we're not successful in network marketing is because we are not doing the work. Now, I'm not saying all of the people are networking, man. I'm saying the handful of people who make the money, like Horton Bugs or Gloria Mansfield or Mayfield Banks, whatever, people do the work. Listen, let me do this. Rather than me talk and say, Russell, I wish you would shut up. Let me do this. Let me do it the right way. Let me do like Jesus. He always talked about not telling you what to do, but he gave you stories. You know, they call them parables, right? Let me do that. Let me do that this morning. Here's a guy named, remember Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Arnold. He became a bodybuilder and then the governor of Florida, then married into the Kennedy family. Let's listen to him. Let's listen to what he had to say about vision, dedication, focus, goal setting.
So I went inside and I looked around and I looked at this stuff and then I saw a magazine. I saw a bodybuilding magazine that had Reg Park on the cover. Reg Park was then a three-time Mr. Universe. And I saw him on the big screen as Hercules. And on the cover it said how Reg Park, Mr. Universe, became the Hercules star. That's what the cover story was all about. So I looked at the cover and I said myself, I got to get this magazine. So I bought the magazine, I took it home and I read it over and over from the front page to the back. It had everything in there, how he trained, how he was working out in Leeds, England, in a factory town, how he worked out every day for 3-4 hours and became the strongest man of Europe, and how he won Mr. Europe and Mr. Great Britain, and then eventually Mr. Universe. And how he won the second Mr. Universe and the third Mr. Universe. And how he was discovered to play the starring role in Hercules. I read that and I said to myself, wow, this is the blueprint for my life. This is exactly what I want to do. I want to become a bodybuilding champion just like Reg Park. I want to get into movies just like Reg Park. And I want to make millions of dollars and be rich and famous, just like Reg Park.
Now, he was in his own hometown in Eastern Europe when he found that magazine, and he said, wow, I want to be like that. I'm going to set my goal to be as great of a bodybuilder as Reg Park. And listen to what he says. Listen to this.
Do you know how great it felt that I knew where I was going? Imagine the majority of people don't know where they're going. I knew where I was going, that I'm going to become this bodybuilding champion just like him. So it was just a question of how do you do it? I was so relieved, because when you have a goal, when you have a vision, everything becomes easy. Because remember that in America, for instance, when you study, you will see the percentage of people that like their jobs. 74% hate their job in America. Now, there's not much different when you come to Europe. The majority of people don't like what they're doing, because they're really not doing it because they didn't have a goal and they followed this goal. They just aimlessly drift around, and then all of a sudden there's a job opening, so they get that job because you have to work. But then when you work, it's a chore. It's work. It's not fun. So if you think about only a quarter of the people really enjoy what they're doing in life, that is unbelievable if you think about it. So I felt so blessed that I knew what I was doing. It's like a medical student that studies and knows he wants to become a doctor. You know where to go. So I knew where to go. So people always ask me, when they saw me in the gym in the pumping iron days, they said, why is it that you're working out so hard? 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day, and you have always a smile on your face. The others are working out just as hard as you do, and they look sour in the face. Why is that? And I told people all the time, I said, because to me, I am shooting for a goal. In front of me is the Mr. Universe title. So every rep that I do gets me closer to accomplishing that goal, to make this goal, this vision turn into reality. Every single set that I do, every repetition, every weight that I lift will get me a step closer to turn this goal into reality. So I couldn't wait to do another 500-pound squat. I couldn't wait to do another 500-pound bench press. I couldn't wait to do another 2,000 reps of sit-ups. I couldn't wait for the next exercise, for the next half hour of posing and all the kind of things that you have to do to be a champion. I felt so great knowing where I was going, and I tell you, it worked. I mean, think about it. And I was just not visualizing just my exercise, but I was really lifting the trophy over my head. That's what I was thinking about. And with the age of 20, I went to London and I won the Mr. Universe contest as the youngest Mr. Universe ever. And it was because I had a goal.
Now, to win at whatever you decide you want, whether you want to be a doctor, whether you want to be an engineer, whether you want to be a lawyer, whether you want to be a college professor, whether you want to be an Oprah or Bob Johnson or BET, guess what? You got to have a goal. You got to plan it out. You got to organize yourself. And you got to have that vision that James was talking about. Got to see it. You got to. If you can't see it, put up a vision board of the yacht, of the plane, of everything you want in life. Put it on the vision board if you can't think about it every day. So when you get up, you can look at it. That's what I want. Listen to what this guy has done in terms of not just being the best bodybuilder in the world and winning all the contests, but even to get into motion pictures, even to become governor of California. Listen.
The same was also when I went into, not just in bodybuilding, they said no. When I wanted to come to America, they said it's impossible. There's no money that you have to fly even over there. You have no money when you go over there to live with. And what do you think, they're going to wait for you? There are plenty of big bodybuilders over there. It was all no, and it can't be done. It's impossible. And I remember then that the same thing happened also when I went into show business. Can you imagine? I was now a bodybuilder. I weighed 250 pounds. I was Mr. Olympia 6 times. I was Mr. Universe 5 times. I missed the world. I missed international. I won 13 world bodybuilding championships altogether. And now I said to the agent, the Hollywood agent, I want to get into movies. He said, that's funny, Arnold. I ask a studio executive. I say, I want to get into movies. I want to be a leading man. He started laughing. So they all say it's impossible. I said, why is it impossible? He says, because look at how big you are. You weigh 250 pounds. Hercules bodies and muscular bodies weighing 20 years ago. 20 years ago, they did Magista and they did all these Samson movies and Hercules movies and stuff like that, but not anymore. Arnold, this is the 70s. Do you know the sex symbols today? It's Al Pacino. He weighs 150 pounds. It's Dustin Hoffman. He weighs 146 pounds. And guess who else is a sex symbol? Woody Allen. So imagine they're telling me now that those are the new sex symbols. So do you ever forget about it? And then they told me this, and your accent, even if you reduce all your body weight and everything and have a normal body, your accent. I said, your accent, I mean, it will go give people goosebumps with the German accent. It will get people the creeps. They will get scared. He says, no one in Hollywood ever has become a leading man that had an accent. Doesn't happen. People in America want to hear their actors talk like John Wayne or like Burt Reynolds or like Clint Eastwood. Not like someone on Hogan's Heroes or something like that. Some Nazi movie. That's the kind of stuff that they heard. They said, no, you see, it's impossible. And plus your name. Your name, who can pronounce Schwarzen Schnitzel or something like that? No one can pronounce that, so forget about it, Arnold. This is the kind of thing that I heard. Imagine, you go from studio executive, from agent, to manager, and they all said exactly the same thing. Now that's very encouraging, isn't it? But you know something? I didn't give a shit. I didn't. Because I believed that I can be a leading man. I believed that I could be another Clint Eastwood or another Burt Reynolds or another Warren Beatty or whatever those characters were, Charles Bronson and so on. I believed that I could be those people. I said, there's enough room on that ladder that I can fit up there. And I looked back again and learned from what I learned in sports. In my case, in bodybuilding. It's all about the hard work that you put in. I said to myself, in bodybuilding, I worked out 5-6 hours a day. I'm going to do the same thing now for acting. And of course, I went to college to study English. I studied voice, accent removal, acting classes, and all of this stuff all day long. I worked and I worked and I worked. And within a short period of time, I made one movie called Hercules in New York, which of course went right into the toilet. But it didn't discourage me. I still had the same vision. And then all of a sudden I did Streets of San Francisco. I did Stay Hungry and Pumping Iron and The Villain. And then all of a sudden I was asked by Dino De Laurentiis and by Universal Studio, the biggest studio, to star in Conan the Barbarian. And after I did Conan the Barbarian, the director at the press conference said to the press, the director was John Milius, he said to the press, if we wouldn't have had Arnold, we would have had to build one. So think about that. The very body that they said can never be sold because the time is wrong. A few years later, I'm doing Conan the Barbarian, and it was the number one hit at the box office when it came out in the summer of 82. Think about that. And the director says, if we wouldn't have had his body, we would have had to build one. So all of a sudden, My body became an asset, not a liability. And the same thing was with Terminator. After we were finished filming Terminator, Jim Cameron said to the press, if Arnold wouldn't have had that accent and talked like a machine, I think the movie wouldn't have worked. So think about that. The body and the accent that they attacked was an asset. But I didn't listen to those losers. I didn't listen to them at all. Because that's exactly the way it was in politics again, when everyone said no, 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 and it can't be done, and then became governor of California. And this is with everything like that. This is just the reality of it, is that you cannot listen to the naysayers. So this is a very important lesson for all of you. So when someone says, no, this is a stupid idea, you in your mind, you don't have to say it, but in your mind, just say to yourself, fuck you. You're an asshole. What do you know?
I'm telling you, I think in his story, it's hard work, dedication, fortitude, the willingness to dig in day by day by day by day and make it happen. And to forget the naysayers, you know, the people that you show your plan to. Oh yeah, I don't know. That's not going to work. You know, you can't make any money. Forget about them. Keep it in your mind, like Oprah, like Bob Johnson of BET, like Kathy Hughes of Radio One. When I went to Howard University to start teaching, she was a secretary. Are we listening? She was a secretary, and that was in 74. In the next 5 years, she went from secretary to sales manager, to general manager, and before I left Howard, or right after I left Howard, she bought her first radio station, WOL, Washington, D.C. Now she has Radio One, 70 radio stations worth about $1 billion. She's just about a billionaire from being a secretary because she was determined.
When she bought that first radio station, she slept on the floor in there for a year with her kids.
Of course.
Using
the
bathroom.
She did. And it's all in that book, The Wealth Choice. You got to read it. I'm saying that she stayed the course and she made it happen, and today she's a superstar. Forget the negatives. Arnold Schwarzenegger said, forget the negatives.
And the same thing is also in politics. I remember that in politics, I had a very clear vision that I will be the leader of California. That's as far as I could go because I was not born in America, so I could not run for president. So being the governor of the fifth largest state, of, I should say the largest state, the fifth largest economy in the world, was for me really the ultimate title, the ultimate accomplishment in politics. So even though people came up to me and says, why don't you go and run for something smaller, you're never going to make it. I ran for governor, and then 2 months later, I became governor of the state of California. Again, because I had a very clear vision what I'm going to do with California. So let me tell you something. Visualizing your goal and going after it makes it fun. You've got to have a purpose no matter what you do in life. You've got to have a purpose. So that's rule number one. Have a vision. Rule number two is, don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to the naysayers. Everything I ever did, the thing that I heard out of people's mouth was, that's impossible. That can't be done. Or no. I remember when I wanted to be a bodybuilding champion, including my parents and everyone else around me, said, this is impossible. Why don't you become a ski champion? That's what they do in Austria. Or a bicycle champion, they'll do some track and field. You can't be a bodybuilding champion. That is exactly what I heard. And of course, I proved to the people that it can't be done. So whenever someone said to me, it can't be done, I heard it can be done. When they said no, I heard yes. And when they said it's impossible, I heard it is possible. Because I am a strong believer. I'm a strong believer of what Nelson Mandela said, that everything is always impossible until someone does it. Well, I'm going to be the one, I said to myself, I'm going to do it and I'm going to show it to them. Maybe it has never been done before. That's perfectly fine with me. But I'm going to do it. And I did not listen to the naysayers.
So, I just wanted to throw those clips at you to show you a guy who, in spite of all of the odds of speech impediments or language or accent difficulties or body size or being in another country and not having the money to get here, guess what he has done? Become a multi-millionaire, being governor of California several times. So I am saying that it's all in the mind. See, where you are, you have created your position where you are. I mean, you say, it's not my fault. You know, I was born in the ghetto. Well, listen, if you change your thinking, you come out of the ghetto like Bob Johnson, like Oprah Winfrey. Like others, stop breathing in the microphone, whomever that is. So Mandela said, closing, if you will, he said, sometimes it's called for a generation to be great. We could become that great generation because now is the time that 50 million people have applied for unemployment insurance during this coronavirus outbreak worldwide. 50 million people just in the United States, and that number is increasing every day. 20%, 30% of the people will never find their jobs again. They are candidates for what we are doing, network marketing, a home-based business, to do Rain International. Byron Belker, when he found the product some 9 years ago, and he was with another company, New Skin, making $1 million a year, he left that $1 million a year, took this product and said, I am going to start a new company with Rain International because I believe that that sole product made with black cumin, black raspberry, chardonnay, grape seed with gyros will help people get well, and I'm going to market it. He came back to the United States and even talked to his mentor, who told him, I don't think that's going to work. His, Nathan Ricks, who started with New Skin in 1986, is now worth, I don't know, $40, $50, $60 million. Just punch up his name, Nathan Ricks. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. He has a downline of 600,000 people in his network marketing organization, and 600,000 people. So if you get a dollar for each during the course of a year, that's $600,000, but he makes millions and millions of dollars a year. I'm saying you got to get a vision. You got to get your affirmations in place. You got to stay the course. You got to listen to the positive principles of self-development and get your vision board. You want a plane? Put it on it. But you want a yacht? Put it in a state. Whatever you want on that vision board so you can see it every day. So it'll focus you in that direction. You want to be triple diamond and black pearl? Put it on your vision board. Look, Byron Allen, let's move to another Byron. Byron Allen, the guy who is the movie star. I mean, he was in movies, whatever. Now he's about to get – he's going to explode the radio television arena. And he's going to get $50,000, you know, $50 million, $300 million, $1 billion to start a whole radio network all across the country. Watch and see. And he's making the deals with Comcast as we speak. So Byron Allen, punch him up, do his history. What? But he says there's plenty of money on the table. Money is all over the. He said $30 billion is chump change. $30 billion is chump change. You can get more than that.
Money's easy. You know, like I said, I had to learn how to make money from the day I started saying, look, I'm going to help my mother. I'm going to make sure I'm not a burden.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the easy part. Making money is easy. And that's a mindset. You could put up a radar and say, where's trouble and trouble will find you. You could put up a radar and say, where's this and it will come to you. But when you put up that radar that says, okay, how are we going to make money in an honest way, in a legal way, mm-hmm. you're going to figure it out, especially today with the internet.
Yeah, but
with
300 million to buy the Weather Channel?
$300 million, by the way, $300 million is not a lot of money. And so I think.
Okay, what kind of million Byron working with? Let me get 300 million. Yeah, let me get 50.
You know, give me 10. I listen. 300 million. You know, I wanna make sure everybody understands how much money there's out there. There is out there.
Mm-hmm.
It is there for you. That money is there for you, and you can make all that and more. That money is there, especially today. I mean, you look, in America, this is the greatest financial system out there. We have over $20 trillion in liquidity in our financial systems. That money is just swirling, looking for a place to invest and looking for a place to get a safe return. That money is available to you. That money is looking for you. And there aren't that many people who can actually invest it, protect it, return it with a return. So there's plenty of capital. There's no shortage of capital in America. How do you?
So, ladies and gentlemen, you can make $100 a month in network marketing, like most people do. You can make $1,000 a month. You can make $10,000 a month. And you can do what Horton Bugs has decided to do at one point in his life. When he, his first 7 years, he struggled. The best he could make is $500 a month for 3 months, and that was it. And then he had to pay that out to his downline. Then he had to change his attitude. He had to change his mindset. He had to think bigger. He had to think faster. Then he got to $1 million a month. Not $1,000 a month. He got to $1 million a month, and that stayed that way until he made about $70 million in network marketing as a distributor. So the sky is the limit. And the battle, even though we march in the streets, nothing wrong with that, I understand, but don't break up anything, tear down anything. The big deal, as Byron Allen says, it's not going to be one on the streets. It's going to be one in the boardroom.
It's happening. The battle is not in the streets. It's in the schoolroom. It's making sure we get a proper education.
Right.
It's in the boardroom, making sure you have access to capital that's not predatory. And it's in the courtroom, like we are in the Supreme Court. We'll talk a little bit about that. And this was something that, you know, I started supporting Senator Obama long before Black America or anybody knew his name, right? Because he came to folks who had the capital to support. I was happy to support. And after he became president, I said, I'm not any different than anybody else. I have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
My agenda is that I want for all Americans to have equal access to capital and opportunity, especially African Americans, the furthest left behind. So I said, I have two asks of you. I said, you just spent $700 billion to bail out the banks. And I want you to audit the banks and see if they're lending money to Black people. Not minorities, Black people. Because minorities, that's defined as white women.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the new minorities, gay white men.
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually say, I'm going to audit you to see if you're lending money to Black people, Negroes, whichever decade you want to go to,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see that we're not getting access to capital. And at that point, I had seen the data that unemployment for under Obama's administration, unemployment for Black America had gone up and had gone down for white America, and home ownership had hit a 25-year low.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, that audit will send a very clear message to the banks to start lending money to Black folks, and they'll start digging Black people up out of graves and lending money to maintain their good standing with the United States government. And
there's no question about that, and the money is on the table. Listen, there's so much money on the table now that if you had a nonprofit organization, that if you had a business, that you can get money from major corporations, from grants from the federal government. There's so much money on the table that we're passing it by. But you have to do the work to get it. Now, he's going to get billions and billions of dollars because he worked for it. Listen, in closing, watch this. This is what he had to do. I want you to listen. Honestly, want you to listen carefully of what he had to do to get billions and billions and billions of dollars.
Okay.
Let's talk Billion Allen.
Because, by the way, God wants you to be that too, wants you to be your best. So I'm here to help.
All right.
So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I started my company from my dining room table in 93. And I did a television special where I interviewed a bunch of funny friends.
I remember that.
Right? So a weekly one-hour show called Entertainers with Byron Allen.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I sat at my dining room table and I called all 1,300 television stations and asked them to carry the show for free. Mm-hmm. And on average, they all told me no about 50 times. And literally, I sat at my dining room table from sunup to sundown and I got about 50,000 no's. Mm-hmm. And after a year of doing that, I was able to squeeze out about 150 yeses. Mm-hmm. I got a station, a TV station, in every market from New York to Waterloo, Iowa, mm-hmm. right? And so that was my lineup. Now, Tribune had said to me, Byron, if you get 75% of the country, we will sell your commercial time. Because I said to the TV station, there's 14 minutes of commercial time. I'll keep 7 minutes. You keep 7 minutes. I'll sell my 7 minutes to national advertisers. You, local TV station, you sell your 7 minutes to local advertisers.
Smart.
Right? You sell it to local banks, car dealers, supermarkets. I'll sell my 7 minutes right. to McDonald's and Pepsi and Johnson and General Motors. You sell yours to the local, you know, sport.
And they didn't pay for the show. You paid to get everything done.
They didn't pay for the show. I gave them the show for free.
And you produced the show, did everything yourself.
Everything myself. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. Sat there for 1 year and just worked the phones like crazy. For 1 year, the hardest thing I've ever done, give away a TV show for free.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So now the problem was, after I did that, good old Tribune said, we changed our mind. We're not going to give you an advance of $400,000 so you can go into production and produce this TV show. So I said, okay, I'm not going to sit here for 1 year and tell these TV stations I'm not going to deliver what I told you I would deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have two nickels to rub together. Mm-hmm. And I decided I'm going forward. And I went forward. I didn't know how I was going to get it done, but Martin Luther King, like he said, that's faith, taking the first step
when you don't see the rest of the staircase.
And you know, the rest of the staircase. There it is, right? So I went forward, and it was tough. My home went in and out of foreclosure over 14 times over about a 4 or 5 year period.
Went from bankruptcy to billionaire.
From bankruptcy to billionaire. That's exactly right. There was there were days I didn't eat. There were days they turned my phone off, and this is before mobile phones. I was calling people from a pay phone, and I got to know the lady really well at the bank, and I'll never forget her. She says, your file keeps coming on my desk. She says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm not paying my mortgage because I'm paying the cameraman, and I'm paying the sound person, and I'm paying to get tape, and I'm paying to have my show edited, and I'm paying to put it on the satellite, and I'm just trying to put a show in production. I don't have the money to do it. And she says, listen up, honey. She says, Don't let it go past day 89, because day 89, day 90, it goes to the lady next to me, Agnes, and you don't want your file to go to her desk.
Right.
That's the mean name.
Agnes is not as nice as me.
Yeah, white women named Agnes don't play no game.
So I said, day 89, and that was it. And I showed up every day on the 89th day, and I paid my mortgage, but I was floating. And finally, I turned the corner and I signed up all the movie studios to buy advertising. Before that, I was selling 1-800 spray on hair. And after I got the movie studios.
Okay, Envy.
Yeah, it is.
He just got his.
That's real.
He just got his.
Oh, you just got his. That spray on hair?
It's not spray on, it's plug-in.
It's plug-in?
Yeah,
it's
plug-in. Not no damn plug-in.
It looks good, man. It looks good. I mean, that's
thanks,
one.
Byron,
thank you. I probably got $20 for that can.
Thanks, so, Byron.
This
is real.
Oh, is that real?
Thanks,
okay.
Byron.
Oh, you still got the spray on.
Oh, we sell it to everybody, right? So we kept selling, and I went, I got movie studios, and I said, I'm going to go to soft drinks. I got soft drinks, and I went to fast foods, and I went to packaged goods, and I went to pharmaceuticals, and I went to automotive, and I went industry by industry by industry, and I went to board of directors, and I went to CEOs and chief marketers.
This was you. This was
this
not
me.
An assistant. This was this not
me.
A friend.
This I'm
was
on the
you
phone.
Pitching yourself.
Me, I'm going day and night. I'm on the plane every night. I'm six meetings a day, whatever it is. And finally, I put another show on. I said, you know, I know all these television stations. I know all these advertisers. I put another show on, another show. Next thing you know, I have 43 shows on the air.
Hey, you got to work for it. You got to work for it. Mandela said again, sometimes it's called for a generation to be great. We could become that great generation now. And as I look at what Frederick Douglass has said, he said power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Find out just what people will quietly submit to. Hey, Samuel, could you? Samuel? Would you please? Anyway, he said, Frederick Douglass says, find out just what people will quietly submit to, and you have the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. So if we stay on the plantation and take the beatings, then you're going to stay there. We can do better. Samuel, Jesus Christ, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm finished. That's enough of that. But I think you got the message. I hope you got the message. That
yes,
you
indeed.
Got to work for it. You got to make it happen. Go ahead. Talk to me. What are you? Any comments?
Yeah, Doc.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, this is Jay. How are you? Loving the conversation this morning. Yeah, one of the things that I remember one of my mentors said, and it still resonates, and that is, if the dream is big enough, the facts don't count.
True.
So no matter what we might be going through right now, we just have to use some imagination, some intuition, you know what I'm saying, to make it happen. But what I love about what I heard this morning, Byron Allen said he got his business started from his living room den, and he
True.
he burnt that foam up. He burnt the foam up and got a whole bunch of no's. But out of that came the prize. So I just thank you for this type of information, because it just makes me think about, you know, what we really need to do and how each and every one of us have to step it up. So thank you so much for sharing that this morning.
Not a problem. All you can do is all you can do, and all you can do is enough. So we have to learn how to do all we can do. We got to get in it and make it happen. Focus. Dedicate ourselves. James, any comment? Andrea, any comment? Any comment?
My check. So this is Adrian in New Jersey.
Adrian,
and it's
sorry.
On our last day of the regular lines with the interference is one thing. But this actually, it's a form of grace to actually even be here. It's a form of grace to be in rain. Because we didn't make ourselves, we didn't make our brains. I mean, we talk to a lot of people and they're closed, but they don't understand and they don't know. But for some reason, I was attracted to this industry. I knew there was something about it that was unique and special. And even though I tried a lot of stuff and whatever, I knew that if I kept at it, that it would work. So I just want to thank you for the message today. And also, I'm reminded about how you play Les Brown. You got to be hungry. If you're hungry, that hunger is what drives the persistence to keep going. So I thank you for this message, and I'm looking forward to continuing to build with this company. Thank you.
Well, no, great. I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here. James, you had another comment? James?
I'm just going to say that this is a great, great call. I'm loving the way that we're leaving one segment today, and we're going to another segment on Monday with another line. We'll be able to get a clear, concise message every day. Because even when Byron Allen was talking, you heard people in the, you know, that was with him, I guess, and this one woman in particular kept on interrupting at the end of what he was saying.
True.
So it was kind
true.
Of difficult to get what he was saying. And I was saying, I wish that lady would shut up. You know,
so, I heard that.
Really, because when somebody like that is speaking, you want to get every single ounce of what they're saying, every single morsel of the nuggets that they're dropping. And so it was just, for me, it was just a great reminder that we are on the right path. And you know, you always get signs. You always get signs when you get ready to do something significant. The universe will send you something saying, yes, you're on the right path. And just continue with that path. And that's something I'm learning really, really well as I'm doing this lesson plan with the law of attraction. That I'm teaching every Wednesday. So, you know, just we're gleaning so much information. And Doc, I want to especially thank you, because you always say you talk too much. You don't talk too much. You're a DJ, man. That's what you do. That's what you told me, right? So I appreciate you.
No dead air.
I'm gonna say so. You've been saying that the wealth choice for weeks now, for months now, and I have it in my library, but my stuff is in storage. Because I'm getting ready to leave out of here. I should be gone already. But anyway, so I was reluctant to go ahead and get it again. But I listened to an interview with Dennis Kimbrough the other day, and I shared it with some people. There's some great information in that. I think I read it years ago, but the stuff that's in there, that he was talking about, I'm saying, I see why you talk about that all the time. And I'm saying,
yeah,
the more you say something, the more I realize I need to get on that. If you say something and I don't get it right away, I know if you say it more than once, I need to just jump on it and get it, because it's something good. And every time you talk about something, it's good. So I appreciate you so much. I guess you can hear my enthusiasm. I just want you to know I appreciate you 1,000%. And that's all I want to say. Thank you for helping Adrian take the call today and helping out King David and just giving us some great information.
No, that's great. I appreciate
Mike
you.
Check.
Yeah.
Mike.
Go right ahead.
Mike, check. Yeah.
Yes. Go,
Dr.
Go
Boston
ahead.
From Tallahassee.
Hey, Dr.
Boston.
Boston
from Tallahassee. Hey,
yes,
hey. I have to say I am so hyped and inspired by today's conversation. And one of the things that really is moving me is this whole thing of reaching high, reaching beyond the sky. And one little thing I found out this week is there's a hip-hop artist named Akon, and he had a dream to provide electricity for all of Africa, even though he's from a little teeny country in Africa called Senegal. Went through a lot of tribulations here in the United States, was imprisoned and all that kind of stuff. But he decided that he wanted to take his money that he earned from the hip-hop industry and put electricity all over Africa. He didn't know how he was going to do it, but he started talking to people about his idea. And in the end, he didn't even have to invest his own money, because so many millionaires and billionaires in Africa came forward to finance it. And now he's in the process of actually doing this. Getting communities in Africa that don't have electricity
to have electricity. That's awesome.
He reached big. He reached high, and he didn't take the nose, because he didn't even know how you do that. But he figured he would figure it out along the way, and he did. And he's doing that. So you just inspired me even more that, we can achieve, what is your vision? Think about what is your vision. And we can achieve that, and it's about taking those steps. So I thank you. I thank you. I appreciate you. I honor you as an elder, as a mentor to me, and I'm so grateful and thankful for you in my life. And I just had to share that. You moved me today.
Well, thank you for all you do. Now, you're raising a lot of money to help a lot of people with your nonprofit organization. So, and you're able to write the grants and get the money, which we need to learn
from.
And I'll add,
you shared with me about the PayPal grant, and I applied for the PayPal grant, and I made it through the last round, so I'm waiting to hear now.
Wow.
So, yeah, you got to reach out there and just put your 2 cents in there, and then
watch the
universe work.
Isn't that something? I called Dr. Boston because I know she had gotten tens of thousands of dollars from other initial grants, the PPP, whatever they call that. And then I saw PayPal was giving away, $350 million or something? And I called her, and that was the last day. And she says, I'm putting my application in right now. And so now she's going to get another big chunk of money. Now, folks, don't call her and ask her for any money. Call her and ask her how to do it. Is that right, doctor?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
And so when Byron talks about all the dollars that are out there for us to make our visions happen, it's just a matter of figuring out how to get to them. But it resonates with me.
Right.
And sometimes you don't know how to get to them, but by taking one step, it opens the door to how you get there. Somebody's doing their dishes. Please mute your phone. Whoever's doing their dishes. Thank you.
Well, Doctor, thank you. Thank you very much for helping us to get down the road. And maybe we will stay in touch with you and find out how to get some of that grant money that you're getting, right? Because we need to learn that. Or we need to pay you half of what you help us bring in as a reward. I shouldn't have said that too loud, but pay you to help.
Well, that's consultation fees. That's built in. There's nothing wrong with that. That's consultation fees.
That's true. Yeah. And half a loaf is better than none, right?
Right.
So if,
yeah.
If I have a loaf of bread and I say, I'll give you half, and you're starving, would you take it? Is the question. Yes or no?
Sure, share. Yeah. My check.
But go right ahead. Go right ahead, please.
This is Vendette from Connecticut. On our final day, we are looking good. This is the glory moment. And we're putting in all of this. Thank you so much, Dr. Russ Johnson. I love all that you have shared with us and more. And this is such an inspirational day for all of us. Adrian, Dr. Boston, James, and whoever else has put in the good words, we are all in harmony and we are rising to the top. I think James said it. He said, there'll be one day when we all walk down the streets of Main Street in Bridgeport and all of us will be diamond. And won't it be a glorious looking day in the company of Seed Nutrition, a new revolution. And we have made it. And that's on our vision board. And we're going to look good, not only in Connecticut, but in New York, New Jersey, all over the world. And we will make it. And thank you for all of the wonderful things. I went on and looked at Byron Allen, and I said, wow, awesome, awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Your resources are great, and we have a wonderful team. So I'm so blessed to know you. What a grace, and this is a glorious moment on our final day. Thank you.
Isn't that something?
Mic check?
Yeah, please, go right ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. This is Barbara. That was a powerful call. I appreciate the information so much. But there was one comment he said that just stuck out in my mind. He said, when you have a goal, everything becomes easy. And I thought, wow, it becomes easy because you are laser focused. And then he also shared that only one quarter of people really enjoy what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That seems kind of high, but then he also shared, I have a few points. He shared that he did 2,000 sit-ups a day. And I thought, whoa, 2,000 sit-ups as a goal, that is huge. I mean, I think I'm doing something if I do 150, but he does 2,000 sit-ups a day. So I just was like, okay, back to the drawing board. So the entire call was absolutely phenomenal. I do apologize for those who were in the background making noise for anybody. But starting on Monday, if I may at this time, because it's almost 12, I want to give out the new Zoom ID. Starting on Monday, Zoom ID is going to be 929-830-37017. Again, that number is 929-830-37017. So that'll be our new 11 o'clock call starting on Monday. And we won't have to worry about any background noise anymore. We will take care of that. So thank you very much. And I will turn the call back over to you, Dr. Johnson.
Okay. So you will have Zoom, and there will also be a telephone number with your Zoom that people may be driving down the highway and just want to not in front of the computer and call you, right? Right?
Yeah. Yes, sir. That phone number is, I can give the phone number.
Sure. Go ahead.
Looking for Vendette's email. Okay. The phone number is area code 929-205-6099. Again, that's area code 929-205-6099.
and then you just have to put in the ID number that I just gave you to join the call. Okay.
Excellent, 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 excellent. Congratulations. Boy, you guys are moving. So you're going to change the...
Spectacular. Right. Greetings. This is Mahasan. Yes, Dr. Johnson, right. You are a saint. I'll just put it in one easy, quick word. You saved all of our lives. We give thanks. And I love the teamwork, and we're making the dream work so that, Vendette, your vision, what you just had for all of us to be, you know, stars in this planet for introducing rain to the planet. Let's grow. I love it. Thank you.
So, wow. Thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys. All right. Well, Monday should be interesting. We start anew. But I just want to say, looking, I tell you, it's so much. But anyway, we have a chance to do great things, because prior to now, the people who didn't want you to think and be creative and dynamic, and so they would stop you. I'm just looking at a couple laws. I'll just go over a couple laws so that for the people who have not done history on the laws. But in 1740, South Carolina enacted a Negro Act of 1740, allowing masters to whip and kill slaves who violate the law by growing their own food, learning to read, and assembling in groups or earning money. In 1804, Virginia legislature passed a law outlawing all nighttime meetings of enslaved people and said that unlawful assemblies were made punishable by up to 20 lashes. And even in the Supreme Court law of 1857, it says in the Dred Scott decision, it says African people cannot be U.S. citizens and are not protected by the Constitution or have no standing to sue in the court of law. So I'm just saying the courts have been against you. The laws of the states have been against you. A lot of people have been against you. But you're here today to take up the banner of going forward for the next generation, to help them to see the light of the day, to help them to reach their potential, their power, their possibilities. And even in the 1896 U.S. Supreme Court ruling, it made a decision to adopt separate but equal schools and places of accommodation, separating blacks and whites. And then the KKK and the White Citizens Council came in to help lynch and massacre the blacks. And don't forget Black Wall Street. So in closing, just remember your history. Remember that we struggled or stumbling or fumbling, but we can make it.
The connection, though, is important. And you make it through systemic racism, because the Tulsa massacre, to a lot of people, to a lot of white Americans or immigrants who weren't here, they say the same thing as they say about slavery. I didn't do it. I didn't have any slaves. I didn't massacre anybody. I wasn't part of the Tulsa massacre. My family's not from Oklahoma. They're not from the South. How do we start to understand systemic racism as something that benefits everybody who's not subject to it?
So, folks, I just want to keep you in mind. I'm going to start doing shows on Black history on Sundays, but I'll let you know when. We're going to start taking an hour or two of Black history and the struggle of Black survival in America to bring that to the microphone, if you will, because I think it's important to do that. Anyway, hey, thanks. Any comment before we leave? Thank you very much for being here. Thank you for me very, 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 very much for being a part of economic self-sufficiency and going forth to pave a path, a way for the next generation to become economically solvent and to take over the world economically, psychologically, philosophically. Any comments before I close? Went over just a bit today, but I just wanted to make sure.
Thank you. It was worth it. It was really worth it all. This is Mahasan speaking here from Georgia. And I like what you said, Dr. Johnson, about, you know, the history and, you know, where we came from and, you know, all that. And it's all true. But I like to just say, it's been in my thoughts for years now. I like to say about what we, because a lot of nowadays, a lot of us, we that's where we are. Our mindset, a lot of us are just there with the, you know. I like to say when I was a little girl, I was jumping benches one day, and I fell, my leg fell between the bench, and I scraped my leg, my right leg. It's a scar still there. And when I scraped it, underneath that was color, the pale color, a pale color. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, so I like us to see we are all one. You know, we need to quit with that, you know, color okay. business and what happened. I mean, not quit like that, but I'm just saying, no, I'm just, I'm not trying to talk about you per se. I'm just saying what's been on my mind lately is that we're all a one. And, sure. you know, we need to quit that. But even those who did what they did, a lot of things I think of, too, is also that came from karma. What caused that? What was the cause of those things happening? There's a cause to everything. So I just wanted to end with that, too. I mean, no, we don't have to end with that. You could still end with talk to me. I know we have a time, but I just – a lot of times people do that too. When I'm talking, they want to, you know, and I be humble and I don't say nothing and I listen.
Okay.
You don't have to listen if you don't want to, but I would just
like
to say, yes. Okay. I will not. This is your call. You say no, I will listen. I'm very humble.
I'm saying that I want to do a call on Black history starting on Sundays, not this Sunday, but probably next Sunday. I'll call you, let you know. Come on and say whatever you want to say at that time. Appreciate you, but I thank you though. Folks,
maybe I will.
Listen.
Thank you.
You take care. Thank you. Okay, folks, gotta go. James, Andrea, thank you for Dr. Foster. Thank you very much for listening. We got the call for Monday. Thank you very much.
That's right. Okay. And Doc, one thing, family. It's fresh start, new beginnings.
Absolutely. And thank you for all your comments. And have a good one. And the program will be archived, so right on Blog Talk Radio.
In the quiet crucible of our personal, private sufferings, that our noblest dreams are born. And our greatest gifts are given, and often given in compensation for what we've been through. It is in the quiet crucible of our personal, private sufferings that our noblest dreams are born and our greatest gifts are given, and often given in compensation for what we've been through.